Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, February 16th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
A visitor is all I ask. A temporary companion to help me pass a few short hours in my lonely life.
Well, I can't come there, but you certainly can come here, because I am your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. And I can be your friend. Holy cow, it's another milestone, folks. Last week, Wednesday's show marked my second anniversary of podcasting. Today's show is my 100th podcast. Isn't that fucking amazing? Those of you who are paying attention know that I've added a second podcast per week on Wednesdays. And for those who haven't been paying attention, listen up! I needed to add another podcast per week because I'm doing a new series of podcast interviews called Sex Edge-ucation. In this series, we will take a look at the fascinating world of fetish sex and kink. We touch on topics both familiar and exotic. And I guarantee you that our investigation will be interesting, stimulating, and very informative. And I can say that with such confidence because I will be chatting with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world. This new series, which premiered last Wednesday, February 11th, will continue to appear on Wednesdays. This, my original weekly podcast, will continue on Mondays. How sweet is that? Today we take a break from the erotic mind interviews that I've been doing and return to our traditional question and answer format. I do so because I have a really hot load of oh-so-stimulating questions. But first, a word from our sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by Ropex. Hey guys, let me tell you a little bit about Jizz Production. For all of you out there who are worried that you're not making enough baby batter as you'd like, or maybe you shoot a nice load but it looks all watery and anemic, well, I've got just the thing for you. The good folks at New Generation Labs bring us Ropex, the original Swedish ropes formula. Ropex is the natural way to increase semen volume so that when you bust a nut, you'll have some nice ropey spunk spewing out your willy. Check out the Ropex review on the product reviews page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Scroll down till you find review 21. Like all my reviews, I give you my unvarnished opinion. So, if you're looking for a little help in the spooge production department, visit Ropex website today. Look for their swell banner in the sidebar of my site.
Don't speak, don't say a word. Oh, my joy and my prize from heaven. Oh, you must have been the tallest one in your class.
Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent is someone we heard from last month. Todd is his name, and he was having some trouble connecting with kinksters like himself.
Todd, male, 21. Hi, Dr. Dick, it's Todd. You answered one of my questions a couple weeks back in one of your podcasts. So first off, I just want to start by saying thank you, and I think it's amazing what you're doing on the site. It's really nowhere else you can get the kind of information, and that kind of leads me to my next question. After calling you, I took your advice, and even a little bit before that, while I was kind of surfing the web, I found, even from a small town, that there's actually, I guess, for lack of better terms, a club of just like-minded people to get together. They talk and just kind of mixers, and some are invited, some aren't. So on one of the nights of anybody's free to come, I kind of sucked up all the courage I could and kind of took off out of Kansas. And I just have to say, they were so many amazing and super cool people that were just amazing and phenomenal to talk to. And one in particular was a woman that's about 16 years older than me. And she was kind enough or felt enough pity on me to kind of take me under her wing. She's a mistress that dominates females only, although she's in a committed relationship to a man who she's married to. And she's been phenomenal from letting me, you know, sit in, talking with me, and she, even her submissives had been amazing to kind of be patient enough with me while I'm getting this amazing opportunity to kind of sit in with her. But that kind of leads me to my problem. I've only really dominated with her about 3 times. And, you know, each time it gets easier, and I mean, I love it, but it's still, you know, how do you kind of get up that courage? And it's been going amazing, and I've been getting better at it, or I've been told I'm getting better at it. And recently she asked me if I would be willing to dominate her. And from what I get, that's like a huge thing, especially for someone that is a dominant and a mistress and has multiple submissives, to be on the bottom. I feel like that's a huge honor, and that's what everyone tells me. But the one thing that kind of tears me is she does have a husband and she does have a child, which it's on some of the meetings that are closed off, and it's just at people's houses, he's there, he's very quiet, he doesn't really talk to anyone, including me, not to black on my end of trying to talk to him. But I kind of want to know, what's the etiquette boundaries on this? It's not like I can really go up to him and be like, hey, are you okay with me spanking your wife? I guess I just feel a little bit taboo about that, which, I mean, let's face it, that's one of the few things, I guess, that I found that actually makes me feel taboo. But I guess it's just, it's kind of, in all of her sessions, her submissive, Dr. Dick, I just left a previous message and I got cut off because I went over 2 minutes. So I'm going to try not to take up too much of your time, and I just want to thank you again for taking the time in the first place to listen to this. But so yeah, if you could just put it in one of your podcasts or get back to me, I guess on what the etiquette of that is, because obviously there are so many etiquette rules, and it's very hard to distinguish considering there's so many, I guess, untraditional things that it's very hard to distinguish where the lines of rules kind of go there. So if you could just help me out, that would be amazing. So either I'll listen to your podcast, or if you could find the time, email me or anything like that. I just want to thank you again. I think it is amazing what you're doing. And I have kind of another question, but I'm going to let that for another time. I'm taking up a lot of your time already. All right. Thank you, Dr. Dick. Bye.
Todd, my friend, you are bringing your traditional middle-class vanilla value system to this new alternative and very unvanilla lifestyle that you've recently encountered. This conventional value system and its accompanying boundaries may serve you well in your regular life, but here in this new life, they are outmoded and cumbersome. That's not to say that in the kink world anything goes. On the contrary, it's just that the value systems here are way different, and thus, so will the etiquette be. Here's a rule of thumb that you can live by. When someone, particularly someone of exceptional stature in the new subculture, like this dom woman, invites you to participate with her in a scene, she is letting you know that these are the boundaries. You'll rarely go wrong if you allow your more seasoned partners to lead you, even if you're going to be the dom in the upcoming scene. Now, regarding her husband, he's not the one who will authorize or prohibit the encounter. It's this woman who's in charge. I mean, it's conceivable that he could even be a cuckold for his wife. Much stranger things have happened, don't you know? And if you don't know much about the cuckold fetish that so many men groove on, then you have more study ahead of you. I do appreciate that you continue to check in with me about your adventure. I'm so proud of you for being humble enough to submit yourself to a woman's tutelage. That marks you as an exceptional fellow indeed. Keep it up and keep me posted. By the way, you should send me your email address so that we can correspond in a more timely fashion. Finally, I want to encourage you to tune in on Wednesdays for my new podcast series called Sex Education, where we will take a look at the fascinating world of fetish, sex, and kink. In fact, you might ask your dom woman friend to listen with you. I would very much like to connect and interview women in the scene, so maybe she'd be interested in a chat sometime. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Joe D. He's a male, he's 45, and he writes from my town, Seattle. Is there a secret to preparing for anal sex? My new lover is really into it, and I want to make it happen, but it's tight and painful and sensitive. Are there creams or ointments to toughen the skin? You bet there is, Joe, and since you asked, let me share with you one of my most popular postings on the topic. It's my tutorial for the novice bottom called Liberating the B.O.B. Within. So, you finally decided to become a B.O.B., that's big old bottom. Tired of missing out on all the ass play everyone's talking about? Been secretly tripping on the exploits of your favorite porn stars? Geez, would you get a load of that? His hole looks like the Victory Arch in Paris, for God's sake. And now, you want a little of that action for yourself? But wait, there's a wrinkle. You're a virgin. Or, worse yet, there's been an exit-only sign on your poop chute for so long that the mere thought of someone diddling your asshole makes you blanch and swoon? Dear Dr. Dick, help, I want to be a bottom. At least I think I do. My boyfriend's been begging for my booty big time. Or, my girlfriend just got herself a strap-on. But I'm just too tight down there, and he's really big. Or she thinks that turnaround is fair play. Our playtime always ends in the same way, frustration for him or her, and a pain in the ass for me. How do those porno guys do it? First off, darling, porno guys, as you so lovingly refer to them, are professionals. And Dr. Dick suggests that a novice butt pirate like you not try that fancy stuff at home before you know the basics. So listen up, bottom wannabes. Pleasurable buggering depends upon three simple but important things. 1. The will. 2. Being relaxed. And 3. A considerate partner. First, you gotta really want to get fucked. This may sound elementary, but it's not. Some of my clients secretly confess that they don't want anyone near their precious tushy, and no amount of pleading and whimpering on the part of their long-suffering partner or partners is going to change that. For some, getting it up the ass is associated with domination, not pleasure. Manly men don't bottom for nobody. Oh, sure, Mary. Methinks you doth protest too much. Others have religious reservations. Why, if God wanted me to get fucked, he would have given me a vagina. Still others have aesthetic concerns. Oh no, that would be too icky and messy. I can assure you that these boys ain't never gonna bottom no how. Second, let's just say that you're dying to get fucked, but you're so intimidated by your top's one-eyed monster that your quivering asshole is like totally shut down. Chill out. Why not begin your sex play with your partner giving you a relaxing sensual back rub? After a while, he could move on to a little butt play, and I do mean play. The object here is pleasure, not penetration. Have him tease your asshole with his finger. A tongue works nicely too. This is called rimming, but you probably already know that. Because you're not a complete idiot, huh? A gentle, circular motion works best. Have him use his hands to spread your ass cheeks. This will give your top better access to your rosebud and give you a double dose of pleasure. After a while, a lubricated finger can be inserted for a bit of prostate massage, which is oh so delicious. When you're ready to kick it up a notch, have your partner try inserting two fingers or a small dildo. Rhythmic, deep breathing will help keep you relaxed. And when you're all loosened up and ready to become like one of those porno guys, you can have him plug in the real thing. No more meat substitutes for you. experiment with different positions. Try sitting down on that big old thing. Or do it doggy style. Getting laid while you're on your side, with your man coming at you from behind, gives you a bit more control over the depth of his thrusting. And of course, there's also the traditional missionary position, where you are on your back, legs spread like eagle, and your pumps are pointing to the stars. Third, having a big dick doesn't automatically make a guy a good top. A considerate partner, big dong or not, will happily join you in exploring your asshole. He will concentrate on your pleasure first because he knows that an investment in your anal pleasure today will reap a harvest of mutual pleasure tomorrow. Regarding the issue of desensitizing creams, check out my product reviews page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Scroll down till you find review 12. There, you will see a review of a really great product called Pure Analyze Me Silicone Anal Glide. It's a long-lasting silicone personal lubricant designed specifically to enhance the pleasure of ass-fucking. Jojoba extract helps soften the skin and the anal sphincter, enhancing the experience of anal sex. Unlike other such products, Analyze Me is benzocaine-free. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Why not write it down? 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Zoe, who's 40, and she also writes from Seattle. Hey, what's up with all the Seattle people today? Hello. I was surprised when my husband said our sex life was just okay. I was skipping along thinking it was great. Now I feel stupid. I asked what I could do to make it better, but he didn't give me any suggestions. Can you help me understand what I'm doing wrong? How can I figure this out on my own? Are there classes, lectures, palm reading even? I'm at a loss, and at my age, I want to have great sex, but not just me enjoying it. Thanks so much for your time. I have lots to say about this topic, Zoe, and most of it has to do with the notion of mutuality and reciprocity. You know, giving to get, mutual satisfaction and all that. I encourage you to look around my site for all the help you need. Check out the category section in the sidebar. You will find a wealth of sexual enrichment topics. In fact, there's even a specific category named precisely that. Under the main category, entertainment/enrichment, there is a subcategory called sexual enrichment. Or you can simply use the search feature by typing in the keywords sexual enrichment. I've made it all that easy. Regardless on how you get there, you will find postings and podcasts aplenty on an array of topics. Be sure to check out the product reviews page for great toy suggestions and other fun stuff to liven up a ho-hum sex life. Another great resource is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. The mind boggles at all the stuff that you could learn there, and you'll be learning from the pros. Finally, a word of advice for you. If you think you're having hot sex, you probably are. If your partner or partners don't think so, it's up to them to work out a plan with you that will satisfy them more fully. Anyone who tells you that sex with you is merely okay, but won't volunteer suggestions on how to make it better, is fucking with your head. Great partnered sex is the responsibility of both partners. Good luck.
I'm sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Oh, those are words of wisdom. Our next correspondent's name is Mike. We don't know anything more about him. Don't know his age or where he's writing from. But he writes, in May 2008, I was instructed by someone not to come for a year. He also instructed me to play with myself, but at any side of pre-cum, I must add 6 months to no coming. This could go on for years. Of course, I have 6 months added. I have also been instructed online to put my cock and balls in ice water for a year. I am told to hold my cock and balls in ice water for 1 minute, pull it out for a minute, and repeat this for 3 times. If I spill any water, I have to add another minute. I also must set my laptop on my cock and balls with no cover, which I'm doing now. This is to loosen my cock and balls so that I can put my cock and balls behind my legs during the night and stretch my scrotum, and they want my balls to hurt me daily. I write this for you to understand that I do as I am instructed, even if it is by chat. My question is, will this hurt me in the long term? I must do it because I do not want to seem as a fake submissive. I guess what I really want to know is, what could this do to me in the long run? I have many more things I must do, such as a ruler spanking, tie up with weights, etc. My instructors plan this on a year plus extended plan. Thank you, Mike. You've been at this extreme cock and ball torture and ejaculation control for nearly a year, and you are now just getting around to asking about the possible adverse consequences? Yikes! Well, that don't make no sense at all. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that you're going to continue this behavior regardless of what I may tell you. These instructors of yours, you know them only from being online? Listen, I'm all for someone enjoying the life of a submissive. Knock yourself out. What I don't get is how you can submit to someone you don't really know. How do you know that these instructors of yours have your best interest at heart and are not just making you do stupid and dangerous things for their own pleasure? Maybe they know that they have this gullible twit on their hands who will do anything they tell them to do, and so they make this twit, you, do stuff that is dangerous to your well-being. Here's the thing. Real submissives don't gamble with their health. They also don't entrust themselves to a dom that will abuse the power exchange relationship. The ejaculation control seems to be pretty excessive to me, but it's your body. Apparently, this gets you off in some fashion or another, and I'm not talking about the traditional shoot-your-wad sort of way. Extreme ejaculation control, especially over long periods of time, will surely have an impact on your sexual response cycle. This excessive edging may make coming with a partner in future difficult, if not impossible. But maybe that doesn't concern you. But if the future sexual satisfaction you might experience with a partner is important to you, then I'd suggest you cut back on the ejaculation control, at least a little bit. The same is true for the cock and ball torture, don't you know? Excessive stretching over many hours, like overnight, is ill-advised. Extreme stretching like this can injure your nuts and damage the delicate tissues in your dick. If you want your family jewels to last, I suggest you cut back on this stuff right away. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Finally, today we have a pair of correspondents, one named Tom, one named Matt. Tom is 18, lives in California. Matt is 16 and lives in England. Tom writes, whenever I see the penises of other guys, their skin always goes back, exposing their head when they have an erection. When I'm hard, my skin never goes back all the way. My head is always covered, even when I have an erection, and when I try to pull the skin back, it won't. Is this normal? Matt writes, "Hi, I have got a problem with my foreskin. When my penis is erect, the foreskin doesn't pull back over the head of my penis. I was wondering if this is easily corrected or will I need to be circumcised?" Let's start at the beginning, shall we? When us boys are born, we all have a foreskin. A good portion of us will have our unit seriously altered within days of showing up on the scene. Somebody, possibly even someone with good intentions, will lop off about 50% of our cock skin and call it a day. I know, cuckoo, huh? Well, be that as it may, those of us who escape this dastardly deed have a foreskin, but it's only open enough to pee through. And it only opens more if it's stretched. And it only gets stretched if the owner of the foreskin pulls it back over his dickhead. No foreskin ever opens by itself. It gets gradually stretched open over time, either intentionally or just through normal use. Most little boys soon discover that pulling back their foreskin feels really good. After all, this unique piece of skin is chock full of nerve endings that register loads of delicious pleasure. A lad's foreskin needs to be pushed back regularly in order to stretch it open and to keep it from shrinking shut again. It's important that the boy do this himself so that it is pushed only as far back as feels comfortable to him. Of course, therein lies the rub, so to speak. The sex-negative pressures of our prevailing culture, both here in the good old U.S. of A., as well as abroad, frown upon self-induced pleasure of any sort, even if it is associated with personal hygiene and necessary bodily upkeep. So most boys get the message that fiddling around down there, even for the purpose of essential maintenance, is a no-no. Simply put, without manual stretching, a kid's skin can actually shrink, closing up again. As a young fellow approaches puberty, there is, as we all know, a growth spurt. But what most of us fail to take into account is that along with his legs, arms, torso, head, and feet, his cock is also growing. His dickhead is increasing in size, and if the kid hasn't established a healthy routine of foreskin stretching, there's going to be trouble. And that's what's happening to you guys. Since parents are not likely to encourage self-discovery of this sort, nor are they inclined to show their young uncut sons how to properly care for this exceptional body part, the kid remains clueless till the problem arises. Wouldn't it be so much simpler, as well as the responsible thing to do for parents with intact boys, to pass on this precious nugget of wisdom? It would be so easy to do this while the kid is enjoying his bath. Parents could show their boys how to retract this fold of skin so that it stays supple, as well as getting things rinsed out underneath. They could encourage their boys to always pull back their lace curtains when they pee. Merely the number of times a fellow will handle himself to piss will automatically keep things more lubricated and elastic. Okay, I'm going to guess that neither of you were instructed on the proper care of your natural cock. Am I right? So, now y'all have some remedial work to do. Let's start with a few foreskin stretching exercises. Exercise 1. While your dick is soft, retract your foreskin as far back as you can. Work 2 fingers in under your hood until you can touch the head of your dick. Now, attempt to roll your hood forward over your fingers. It's like docking another dick, only you're using your fingers. This exercise depends on you having your fingers inside your foreskin for it to be effective. In time, you'll be able to add 3 fingers instead of just 2. This will stretch your skin to the point where you'll be easily able to retract it over your erect dick head. Exercise 2. Grab each side of your foreskin at the opening and gently pull each side apart. Stretch the opening till it is stretched with a tension that you can tolerate, but that is not actually painful. Hold it for a count of 10 and release. Repeat for 5 sets of 10 pulls per day, more if you can handle it. Here's a tip. These stretches are best done after soaking in a warm bath or a long hot shower. Exercise 3. This is a variation on exercise 1. Insert a smooth cylindrical object into your foreskin opening, like a cork from a wine bottle. This object needs to be just large enough to stretch the skin without pain. Once inserted, leave it there for as long as you can, or for overnight. As your foreskin stretches, you will want to swap the one object for another with a larger diameter. If a wine cork is too big to start with, consider a smaller, smooth wooden or plastic dowel. You can find these sorts of things in the hardware store. You might need to use a bit of surgical tape to keep these stretchers in place. These exercises may sound a bit invasive or uncomfortable, and perhaps they might be at first, but don't worry, you'll live. In a short period of time, you will have a much more pliable foreskin, one that you can retract at will and with ease. Good luck!
Forgive me. I didn't realize you were mute. You see how heaven plans. Me, a poor blind man, and you have a mute. An incredibly big mute.
Well, I've been accused of a lot of things, but being mute is not one of them. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. So glad you could join me. Tune in next week, or even better, tune in on Wednesday for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Ropex. I know a lot of you guys got it in your head that the amount of cum you produce and the velocity of your money shot is somehow associated with virility. Well, I don't buy that logic necessarily, but who among us doesn't like a nice puddle of dick wad to play with it and fire? Ropex can help you boost the volume of your ejaculate and thus increase your orgasmic contractions, and I am happy to recommend Ropex to anyone who worries about puny spunk production. Again, I invite you to check out my review of Ropex on the product reviews page. Look for Review 21. Be sure to look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. And feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? That's even better. Over and out.